Get rid of them women, their children. Take them home. Cleanse yourselves. Make confession to the Lord, and He'll have compassion on you. And boy, God had touched their hearts, and they all rose up with one consent and said, what you said, we will do. Praise God. If He hadn't have done what He did, they wouldn't have done what they did. God had to have a man to begin that great revival of restoration. It had to begin, and it started with Ezra. Praise the Lord. There's another old brother in the Bible. It's a great man I've mentioned to you before, and that's Jeremiah. I want you to turn with me. Old brother Jeremiah's own writings about himself. I want you to turn to the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9, beginning in verse 1, he said, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. I wish my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears. He cried enough. I don't see how in the world he could cry it anymore. Over in the book of Lamentations, he starts off, said, my tears run down for the slain of the daughter of my people. He just weeping, 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 constantly and seeking God. And listen to what he said. I wished I had in the wayfaring, a wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men. I'd like to leave my people and go from them, for they be adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their bows for lies. They're not valiant for the truth upon the earth. They proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Why is he weeping? There's a stinking, wretched mess among God's people here, and God's about to destroy them. He's rejecting them utterly. And listen to what he said. Here's the situation. It's that way today. Take ye heed, every one, to his neighbor. Trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves to commit iniquity. God have mercy, what a mess. Turn to the 13th chapter, please, to continue this expose here of this great weeping prophet and how he had such a tenacious hold upon God in his integrity. And God trusted him, and he trusted God. See, that's the coalition, as we've been talking here a lot about here in this day, that's got to exist. There's got to be a mutual trust between the fellow that sent you and the fellow that sent. There's got to be mutual trust. I want God to trust me, but before he'll trust me, I've got to fully put my trust in him. And I've done it, and I identify with these weeping prophets of the Bible and not these modern scallywags called pastors and prophets and preachers. I don't identify with them. The 13th chapter of Jeremiah, please. Praise God. Verse 15. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Pride God hates. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Now listen to verse 17. I want you to notice this. This is the real Lord, just the open confession of a weeping prophet. Now this is a real epitomization, the definition of what a weeping prophet is. He said, if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. And there is what God fills a man, a true man of God, with, and makes him a weeping prophet, because of his heart is filled with affection for God's people, and he's afflicted when God's people are afflicted. He feels what they feel, and he turns to God with tearful intercession in their behalf. I want to read that 17th verse again of Jeremiah 13. If you will not hear it, what God's fixing to do, he said, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. The devil, through preachers, has deceived. They've conspired to lead God's people away from those old landmarks and guideposts and beacons and that straight and narrow path, wherein is a good way that Jeremiah cried in Jeremiah 6. He said, walk in that good way. Walk in that straight path. But they said, we will not walk therein. Don't tell us, preacher. Also the Lord, he said, God's rejected you as reprobate silver. God's rejected you because you won't walk in his paths. But he cried and he wept and he warned them until the end. It lasted 40 years. Man was making intercession and God heard him. I want to tell you another fella. Old Elisha, he had a double portion of Elijah. Just because that he was strong didn't mean that he wasn't a weeping prophet. In 2 Kings 8, these are wonderful revelations about true men of God. 2 Kings, the 8th chapter, about old brother Elisha, the successor to Elijah. The 8th chapter in verse 11. The Bible said, he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. That's Elisha. He wept out in front of the general of the armies of Syria, Hazael, under Ben-Hadad. And Elisha had come to town. Even the king of Assyria honored this prophet out of Israel. Now, he didn't honor them other Israelis, but he honored this prophet because he knew this prophet was truly a man of God. And Hazael went to meet him because the king Ben-Hadad was sick, and his general went out to meet Elisha when he heard he was in town. And you know what the king told him? Verse 8, so the king said to Hazael, take a present in thy hand and go meet the man of God and inquire of him, saying, shall I recover this disease? So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even every good thing of Damascus. This is what he took. 40 camel's burden. That's like taking 40 pickup trucks full of goodies to give to a prophet of God. Boy, what respect in another country. An enemy of Israel. And he came and stood before him and thus said, he said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of the disease? And Elisha said unto him, go, saying to him, thou mayest certainly recover, howbeit the Lord has showed me that he'll die. And he settled his countenance until he was ashamed, and he wept there in the presence of this general of the Syrian army. And Hazael, the general, said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answered and said, because I know the evil that you'll do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds you'll set on fire, their young men you'll slay with a sword, you'll dash their children and rip up their women with child. Hazael said, but what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. And you're going to be the instigator of those attacks that your soldiers are going to carry out against Israel. And you're going to give them permission to go in there and kill their young men and rip up their women with child and dash their babies on them cobblestone streets. And Hazael thought, I wouldn't be guilty of such a thing. But he said, yeah, but as king, you're going to do these things. And he wept until he was ashamed because he knew what was going to happen to that church. God have mercy. I tell you, folks, I weep for the close friends and helpers who have forsaken me over the last 20 years. And some of these helpers that used to be helpers are even become enemies. And am I become their enemy because I've told them the truth? Yes. Like Jeremiah and these prophets also said, they're not valiant for the truth upon the earth. They've taught their tongues to lie. You can't trust them. And that's what we have to learn to our dismay. I want to show you what the prophet David said about that in Psalm 55. This needs to be recorded. It needs to be remembered. Psalm 55. He lost friends. He was grieved because of it. Beginning in verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide in mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. People that you went to church with, you worshiped with, people that, just like me, supported me and took almost an oath, we'll never leave. You couldn't run us off out of this ministry and from being your helper. The Bible said here, like David, it wasn't an enemy that hated me. It wasn't one that was a real sworn against me that magnified himself, but it was somebody, it was my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. So we took sweet counsel together. We walked to the house of God in company. And he goes on down a little bit further, and he says in verse 21, he said, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. You can't trust every Christian that claims he believes like you do. Them's the people that will betray you and break your heart. So, in retrospect, here's what you have to do. We better keep it present, but in retrospect, it's what I've had to do. Cast thy, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I've had to cast my burden on the Lord. I've had to take my brokenheartedness and pour it out before the Lord and let him heal that broken heart so that I wouldn't be grieved about the loss of people that were close friends and acquaintances. And we walked to the house of God in company and had sweet fellowship together. And then all of a sudden they betray you, denounce you, become your enemies. I've got hundreds of such people in this country. What's God going to do with them? I tell you what God's going to do. He's going to take them into judgment. Psalm 69, verse 10. David said, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. When I wept and fasted, it was a reproach to the other people of God. Reproached him because he wept and fasted. I've had Christians look at me, preachers send me word and look at me and say, Foot, why are you fasting and praying and crying? I'll be doing something. I'd rather be fasting and praying and crying and let the Holy Ghost be doing something. He can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in a lifetime. God have mercy sakes in this world. That old pride. That's back to that Jeremiah. Hey, you better renounce your pride or my soul will weep for you in secret places. Pride will bring you low. Pride will destroy you. It's destructive. We've got to cast our burden upon the Lord and he'll sustain you. Well, I'm going to add a close here about with Jesus. However, I'm going by Joel just for a moment here. Joel, the second chapter. Verse 17, he said, let the priests and ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Hey, it's a great man that'll get down before God's people and weep and cry and pour his heart to God. He said, let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where's your God? Then the Lord will be jealous for the land and pity his people. Thee the Lord will answer when you weep and mourn before him. He'll answer and say to his people, behold, I'll send you corn and wine and oil. That's symbolic. That corn is the word. The wine is the Holy Ghost. The oil is the anointing. Oh, praise God. You got the word of God. You got the Holy Ghost. And you got the anointing. You've got it. Praise the Lord. He said, that's what I'll give you. And I'll move off that old northern army that's stolen what you had. Praise God. Now I got to go to Jesus. Jesus in the 13th chapter, weeping prophet. 13th chapter of Luke, verses 34 and 35. He stood out over the city of Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come, and it's coming shortly, when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Weeping out there, said, I wish I wished you'd have let me. Took you together like a hen takes her chicks under her wings. That's what the chicken, the old mother hen, does when there's danger, when there's a storm approaching. Cluck, 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 cluck. She makes certain noise, and boy, them biddies are going to her wings, and down they go, and they're safe till the storm passes by. Luke 19:41. Again, twice he approached Jerusalem with tears streaming down his cheeks. And here he was come nigh. He beheld the city and wept over it. He wept out there crying, tears streaming down his cheeks, saying, if thou hast known even thou at least in this thy day the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid.